Well, the famous golfer Chichi Rodriguez once said, "I attribute becoming a millionaire to marrying my wife. Before I met her, I was a multimillionaire." That's really what happened in today's gospel. This rich man becomes richer. This millionaire becomes a multimillionaire. And today's gospel is called the parable of the rich fool. Now, it's occasioned when a young man comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, tell my brother to give me some of the inheritance." Jesus says, "Well, I'm not here for that purpose. I'm not here to, argue about these financial matters between family members." But obviously, Jesus can read hearts and he can read souls. So he looked into this man's heart and soul, and he used this as an occasion to give a parable about the dangers of greed and avarice. And so he gives us the parable of the rich fool. Very short parable, but contains a lot of interesting points. He talks about, again, what is a parable? A parable is a story that Jesus uses, an earthly image to teach a heavenly truth. And so the parable is about a rich man who has a bountiful harvest. So now this millionaire became a multimillionaire. He has all this wealth, all this grain. What does he do? Well, first, what he doesn't do, he doesn't pray about it. He doesn't go to God and say, "God, what do you want me to do with these blessings that you've given me? What should I do with this abundant harvest?" He doesn't pray, doesn't talk to God. He talks to himself and says, "I know what I shall do." Notice he was making his own plans, not bringing God into it. He did not obviously think about God. He didn't think about the poor or the needy. He was purely selfish. And that is the great sin here, is selfishness. Not the money, but the greed, the avarice, and the selfishness. And notice what he says in the next two sentences. He says the word "I" or "my" 10 times in two sentences. And the "I," the word for "I" is ego, which someone once said means edging God out. That's our ego, edging God out. So he says, "What shall I do? I don't have enough space to store my harvest." Notice this was poor stewardship. God gave him this abundant blessing, but he thought of it as his own harvest, not as a blessing from God. So he has poor stewardship. Then he makes a decision. His plan is to keep it all and to hoard it for himself. "What shall I do? I shall tear down my barns," because they're not big enough. "I'm going to build larger barns to hold more grain, to hold more wheat. There I shall store my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself," again, notice the ego, the "I'm," "now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years." So he's going to retire and have an abundant life of, it says, resting, eating, drinking, and being merry. That is the pagan philosophy, to eat, drink, and be merry. That goes back to pagan Rome and pagan Greece. This hedonistic focus on pleasure and selfishness. So eat, drink, and be merry. That's his plan. Now he's made his plan for the rest of his life to live on this great harvest and obviously to live a purely selfish life. Well, why is he a fool? Because God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you." In other words, you will die tonight. You will die this night, and all these things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? There's an ancient saying that there are no pockets in a shroud. When somebody's buried, they can't take anything with them. I guess maybe a modern analogy is that out of the thousands of funerals I've done, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul behind it. It just has not happened in my almost 30 years experience. There are no U-Hauls at the back of hearses because we can't take anything with us. I remember going on a retreat with a famous Jesuit, Father John Hardin of Chicago, a wonderful holy Jesuit. He's up for beatification. He told the story on the retreat that he was called to the deathbed of a multimillionaire who lived in one of the huge Chicago mansions. And this fellow was just dying of cancer. He had oxygen and he was wasting away on his bed. But thanks be to God, he did call for a priest for the last rites. And when Father John walked into his bedroom, this man was lying on his bed, and he had stacks of $100 bills around him on his bed. Incredible. I mean, literally maybe $50,000 worth of $100 bills around him that he could hold on to as he was passing from this world to the next. But anyway, I just remember that story. In other words, you can't take it with you as hard as some people might try. So then Jesus says, to whom will it go, all this stored up abundance? Thus will it be for those who store up treasure for themselves, notice the selfishness, but are not rich in what matters to God. What matters to God? A person's holiness, their relationship with God, their amounts of faith, hope, and charity. That is heavenly treasure. We think of, you might have heard of St. Catherine Drexel. St. Catherine Drexel lived about 100 years ago. She was an heiress. At the age of 15, she inherited her dad's fortune, and that was $15 million. And that was back at the turn of the last century, when that was probably worth $150 million today, maybe more. What did she do with it? She gave it all away. She became a nun, and she founded religious orders that would take care of the Native American Indians, African Americans. She founded Xavier University, and she was an incredible saint. During her whole life, she died at the age of 95, having spent her fortune saving souls and bringing souls closer to God. In more modern times, I think of Tom Monahan. You might have heard of him because he and his brother founded Domino's Pizza. And he could deliver any pizza within a radius in, whatever, 10 or 15 minutes, made a fortune. Maybe $1 billion or hundreds of millions of dollars. That's a lot of dough in more ways than one, right? So he became wealthy on pizza. And again, he gave so much of it away to found Ave Maria University Law School in Michigan, Ave Maria University in Naples, Florida, one of the great Catholic universities in America. So again, using a portion of the blessings that God has given you and giving it back to the needy and to the poor. We should ask ourselves the question, what is our attitude towards money? Money, of course, is morally neutral. It's like television or the internet could be used for great good or for evil. Money can be used for great good. It can build churches. It can build hospitals. It can build Catholic schools. Money, you need that for food, clothing, and shelter, and obviously for retirement. That is very important. Money's important, but what Jesus is condemning is greed and avarice, to make sure that we possess our possessions, that our possessions do not possess us. We want to use the blessings that God has given us with good stewardship. So a good thing to do is at the end of every month, when you look at your checkbook, just look over the list, and we should do this every month. What have we spent, obviously, for food, clothing, and shelter and other expenses, but what have we spent for the work of the Lord, to build up the kingdom of God? What have we given to the church or to the poor, to the needy? Or at the end of the month, look at our monthly credit card bills and just do an examination of conscience. What have we spent things on? And do we give a portion, maybe as the Bible says, maybe 10%, that's up to you. But do we give a portion to the building up of the kingdom of God, to the needs of the less fortunate, to the poor, to those in need? Maybe we can support a focused missionary and be able to keep our kids Catholic when they go off to college, or the House of Mercy in Manassas, or to our own Samaritan Fund that helps so many people in our area. So that's what we should just, every month we should at least examine how we spend our money. Again, money can be used for such tremendous good, for the food, clothing, and shelter, and education, and helping so many people. So lastly, Jesus says, thus will it be for those who store up treasure for themselves, but not treasure in heaven. How can we store up treasures in heaven? Well, every time we come to Mass and receive communion, we store up treasure in heaven. Every time we pray a rosary, we store up treasure in heaven. Every time we make a holy hour, we store up treasure in heaven. And that's how we become rich in the eyes of God. Really, saints are spiritual millionaires. They've become holy through God's grace. So the Lord is saying us today, reminding us today, that what really matters most is becoming saints, to grow in what matters to God, in holiness, in faith, hope, charity, works of service, works of mercy, corporal and spiritual works to help other people and to grow closer to God. So really, when it comes down to it, really it's the saints who are the spiritual millionaires, and that's what God is calling us to be. Not to store up treasures on earth that we cannot take with us, but to store up treasure in heaven that will last for all eternity.